But that's good. It gives a little atmosphere, you know. It makes you
atmosphere. Yes, it certainly does.
If somebody else comes by, I swear to God, I'm going to reach out and grab them. I swear to God.
As long as it's Doctor Who related, that's fine. We could do like the old Benny Hill sketch.
Well, let's not.
And then like, oh, look, it's Matt Smith, you know, on this crappy video.
Oh, look, it's 3 pixels in a fez.
Yeah, 3 pixels in a fez.
Had the perfect accessory.
Yes, his little bum chum.
No, I have never, ever called your names out at my husband.
That's a good thing.
Never once.
That's a good thing. I'm glad.
Yeah, don't start on it either.
Well, I'm not. Oh my God. It's George Harrison. George Harrison. No.
George Harrison. Yes. Dead Beatles keep turning up.
What the hell's going on here?
Now you've squashed my favorite Beatles. It was like the biggest geekgasm you will ever experience. Do you know nothing?
I don't read many comics.
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody.
So, did you forget what came after two?
Shush you. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Happiness Patrol. It is an exciting week here on the Happiness Patrol. We have all kinds of things. Our very own Dale. Dale, hello, Dale. How you doing, Dale?
Hello.
Dale went to a prom last night, and he had a special date, Matt Smith. Is that correct?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. He's here to tell us all about the BBC Doctor Who prom from the Royal Albert Hall in London, which occurred just last night. We're actually recording this on the 25th of July, and the 24th last night in London was the Doctor Who prom, and it was very exciting. And speaking of exciting, we have Miss Tara W. from San Diego Comic-Con. Hey, Tara.
Whee!
So man, we've got an exciting show today. She's live on.
That's not exciting. That's excited.
That's exciting. We've got that, and oh man, all kinds of excitement. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yes, I do, but I'm not telling you.
On this week's Happiness Patrol, which starts right now. Well, hey everybody! As promised, we were we told you last week we were going to have her reporting live from San Diego Comic Con, and by God, the Happiness Patrol is true to their word. So everybody, please welcome
Miss
Tara W. from Comic Con in San Diego. Tara, how's it going so far, sweetie?
Oh, Jesus H. Christ. It's a zoo. It's a zoo every fucking year. And this year, somebody got stabbed.
Now tell us about that. That's been the latest news. And people were like going, oh, my God, I can't believe geeks are getting violent. So what exactly happened there?
That's the latest, hottest news is that last night I was in a panel for Mythbusters. And across the way in one of the single biggest hall, it's Hall H, holds supposedly 8,000 people. We got word that all the security was being called over there because there was a riot. The first thing we heard was that there was a riot and that Hall H was locked down. Oh. And we were in another building and we were like, what the fuck? So we're waiting for Mythbusters and everybody starts tweeting to everybody. Now, one of my friends was 40 feet away from the incident. He saw the whole goddamn thing.
Wow.
So what happened was, this was during the Green Hornet panel.
Uh-huh.
There were two guys. Now, they've got everybody crammed in like sardines. I got to tell you, this place was packed. And there was a huge line outside of probably another 2,000 people trying to get in. So two guys apparently were too close to one another at in their chairs.
Uh-huh.
And one guy told the other guy, move. And the other guy said, fuck you. And one guy stomped on the other guy's leg. Second guy pulled out a pen and stabbed him in the face.
Now, yeah, because I was just reading on your Twitter page, it says somebody stabbed a guy in the eye with a pen. And the other thing that I read, which is the funny part, it says reports I'm hearing says Stabber was wearing a Harry Potter t-shirt.
That is confirmed. That is confirmed. Stabber was wearing a Harry Potter t-shirt, which was covered in blood.
Oh, my God.
The reports I'm getting this morning was that the guy who got stabbed was stabbed in the face, but not in the eye. Because first reports we were getting was that he was stabbed in the eye. So the guy who's 40 feet away tells me that once the pen came out and people got stabby and blood started flying, all hell broke loose.
Oh, my God. I bet.
So there were all these people running and screaming. Security came in, jumped on top of this guy, and immediately called the San Diego Police Department. Now, you've got to remember, there's 8,000 people in there screaming.
Uh-huh.
So, they put zip ties on the Stabber and led him out of the building. People got pictures of him. And the other guy got bundled up and put on a gurney and wheeled out. Now, 8,000 people inside the auditorium, 2,000 people trying to get in. San Diego Police Department shows up, says this is a crime scene. Nobody leaves.
Wow.
So there are panels that are scheduled, and these are the big bad panels, because the next panel that was supposedly going to be coming up was the big Cowboys and Aliens panel, and that's huge, huge. So they start showing trailers. Now, showing how lovely and wonderful and sensitive the people in charge of San Diego Comic-Con are, the first trailer they showed was for the new Splatterfest movie, Machete. So, we're already very, very upset at seeing all of this blood are now treated to
Even more blood.
Even more blood. Rodriguez's latest Splatterfest. So they showed them trailers while San Diego's finest did their little crime scene investigation.
Oh, God.
And then showing how even more on top of the situation they are, the Cowboys and Aliens panel had planned a little gag because they scored a major coup. Harrison Ford is in Aliens and Cowboys.
Right.
And so he was escorted on stage in handcuffs.
Oh, my God.
So there was a rumor running around that Harrison Ford had stabbed the guy in the eye and that it was all a publicity stunt. Wearing a Harry Potter t-shirt. But no. So there were all of these crazy conflicting reports going absolute nuts.
God. Man, I tell you, you know, at these conventions, you know, you just got to be patient with people. And you got to, like, you know, you got to keep your wits about you because, you know, all those damn people, man. I can't even imagine. You know what? I can totally see this happening at Comic-Con, though, because, you know, just the amount of people.
I've been saying for years that there's going to be an incident, and this was not the incident I was expecting, because I really thought, when I first heard there was a riot, I was saying, oh, here it finally comes.
Yeah, you're very lucky that people just didn't get trampled to death.
See, that's what I was expecting, was that there was going to be a stampede of people running the fuck out to get away from the stabby guy. But I haven't heard anything yet this morning. Apparently, everything is running according to schedule. Last night, I talked to a guy who took photographs of the whole incident, who was an official on-staff photographer, and they seized all of his photos.
Wow.
And told him he couldn't use them because they're trying to apparently calm this down. But apparently, the NBC station got photos and has been running them continuously.
Yeah,
that was the
week
I posted.
Yeah, absolutely. But
they are the only news organization. Well, I heard that USA Today had some information, but I haven't checked on them yet. But apparently San Diego Comic-Con is doing their damnedest to crush this story as quick as they can.
Well, you know, with all those geeks there with all their devices and, you know, tweeting and everything, there's no way.
There's no way they can cover that up.
The revolution will be tweeted. That's for damn sure. So.
Well, just to think they could have got rid of the whole thing just by using an Expelliarmus spell.
Oh, God. See, that's when they were talking about the pen and, you know, and they started releasing the information about the guy in the Harry Potter shirt. We said, okay, you sure it wasn't a wand? You sure it wasn't a staff?
Expecto Patronum.
Ow, my eye!
Focus eyes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So
did that one do, Harry?
So, okay, let me make sure we've covered all the Doctor Who news here. Okay, the official news is there was no official news here from
San Diego Comic-Con.
San Diego Comic-Con. Well, the BBC America does indeed have a booth, and they're flogging the hell out of being human. And that's about it. So, Anthony Stewart Head is here, and Russell Tovey is here.
Now, if you see Russell Tovey, grab him, and we'll talk to him.
God damn it, I missed his signing yesterday, day before yesterday, and I am just pissed. I can't tell you. I lugged this book around for 3 days, and I didn't get the picture. God damn it.
All right. Easy now, gal. So,
now you've started her off again.
Yes, I did. So,
And
you guys, you're not going to believe this. Sorry.
What is it?
John Levine is not 30 feet away from me.
Can you get him to say hi?
Here he comes.
All right, John Levine. Let's see if Tara can do it.
Hold on.
John
Levine, we're with the Happiness Patrol. Would you mind saying something?
Oh, I'd love to. Well, let's put it down comfortably.
All right.
And
would you like a chair, love?
Let's have a chair.
Have a seat.
So who am I speaking to?
You are speaking to the Happiness Patrol here. I'm unplugging this.
Ah, okay.
So I'm with Tara Wheeler.
I'm with Tara Wheeler from the Happiness Patrol. And my goodness, are we patrolling some happiness today? We are, as we speak, at Comic-Con, 120,000 people, plus myself. And we're just having the most wonderful time. And, of course, I've seen Tara here. We've because we're fans of Doctor Who, and I'm even a fan of Doctor Who, even though I was in it. So this is John Levine, Sergeant Benton, saying, thank you, America, for giving us Comic-Con, and thank you, Great Britain, for giving us the Queen, giving us Pink Floyd, and giving us Doctor Who. I think the new Doctor's going to settle in nicely. What an act to follow, of course. I mean, how do you follow David Tennant? And but I just need to say to you that I've just been to England, and I met the new Doctor. We were invited down to the... To the studio. We were down at the studio where we met the new Doctor and, of course, Karen Gillan and Phil Collinson, the ex-producer from the David Tennant series of Doctor Who, who's the gentleman that got us the pass in. We were, I must say, and the only reason I'm rushing this little bit of dialogue, ladies and gentlemen, is because there's 22,000 people queuing for my autograph at my table. Oh, no, sorry, there's three of them. It's not 22,000, there's only three. So they can damn well wait.
Because so everybody get your ass down here. That's right.
That's right. They can wait because we've got John Levine on the Happiness Patrol.
And I need you. So look, Happiness Patrol, continue to be happy. And let me just say that the little question I'd like to ask you is something I woke up with on my brain this morning. Why are wrong numbers never busy? Give that a thought, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Thank you, John Levine.
Wrong numbers never busy. I cannot believe it. Anyway, my loves, you know that I love my fans. You know that I've loved being in Doctor Who since I was a Yeti. I believe in Web of Fear or even beyond in 1963. I love the name Happiness Patrol. What a great name for a group of people. I mean, that is so, when it's so happy, it makes you bloody happy, man. I've got a T-shirt. Tara's just shown me her T-shirt. Anyway, the other day, I was talking to a blind lady and her dog, and she just happened to say, oh, you've got an English accent. How nice. And I said, well, that's because I'm from England. No, I didn't really say that. And anyway, the long and the short of it is, she said, oh, I love your voice. You must have been an actor at some time. And I said, well, there are people that would dispute that. I mean, when I first met my agent, I told him my name is John Levine. I'm an actor. And he said, don't worry, John, your secret is safe with me. And I remember thinking, that's not a good start. That's Carla laughing. I have paid her $5 to laugh at each joke. It's heel-ish now. Tara's just put my shoulder right out of joint again. So.
That's another $8,000.
$8,000. Anyway, to finish my little story, the woman said, you should go to the Braille Institute. Now, all of we people that can see, and now I'm being just a little serious here, all of us that have our sight and we have our feeling and our senses and we can smell and touch and feel and we eat, it sounds a bit silly. But anyway, the end of my story, everybody, is I indeed went along to the Braille Institute on Vermont Avenue, that's Sunset and Vermont in California, right in the middle of LA. And would you believe it? They auditioned me and I'm now their number one book reader. I'm doing audiobooks for the blind.
Rock and roll.
I'm so thrilled. Now, we're not allowed to say blind. It's sight impaired, I believe.
Yes, sight impaired.
But anyway, the long and the short of it is, I went along. Now, again, I'm not expecting all of you to know Shakespeare. Just because I'm an Englishman and I did a bit of acting and my next-door neighbor was Anthony Hopkins, or Sir Anthony Hopkins, for 2 years when he first came to London from Wales. But anyway, I went along to the Braille Institute, and the first book they gave me, and I'd love you all to look up this, not you won't hear my voiceover, but if you look up on your computers the name Joseph Papp, P-A-P-P, Joseph Papp was a Polish immigrant that came with his family to New York, and he was so poverty-stricken, he thought that having free libraries in America was one of the great things about the American continent. So he got Shakespeare into Central Park free of charge. And he's the man that discovered Martin Sheen, James Earl Jones, J.D. Cannon, and a lot of your very famous actors. Anyway, would you believe it, listeners, viewers, or lovers of Doctor Who? They gave me the autobiography of Joseph Papp, and it's called Joseph Papp, The Greatest Theatrical Story Ever Told. And the author is Dennis or Tynan, Turnan. Anyway, I don't know the name of the author.
We'll look it up.
But look it up. Anyway, it took me 49 hours of going down to 2 hours to 3 hours a day to record this book. And I had to quote Shakespeare, Henry V, Othello. Oh, it was incredible. So anyway, the reason my voice is a little bit torn is because over the last 4 months, I've been reading. I've just finished my third book for the Braille Institute, and over 400,000 tapes, audio tapes, are sent to people that are sight impaired all across the country every day. So I'm going to be famous with the sight impaired. So that's my little...
Amazing, yay.
My cool. little humanitarian offering to the American continent. So look, everybody, thank you for putting up. I'm sorry I spoke a little fast, but we're here in the autograph and we're about to start.
Well, John...
Thank you for... Oh, is somebody talking to me?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, John, Louis Bailey here.
I can't hear you. Oh, go on. Who is it?
Hey, it's Louis B. with the Happiness Patrol. First of all, I want to thank you so
Louis
much.
Oh, Louis Bailey, hello.
I want to thank you so much for taking time out and actually coming on and putting up with Tara, pushing on your shoulder and all that sort of stuff.
Louis, that's wonderful. I mean, the truth is, that's what I am. Look, in a way, I should thank you, Louis and Tara, because if I hadn't have been in Doctor Who, if it hadn't have been for Barry Letts and Douglas Camfield, the producer and the director of so many good Doctor Whos, I would have never seen the light of day. I would have been this shy, uncompromising man. And as it is, I'm so thrilled that I was in Doctor Who and that Doctor Who gave me my life. It gave me the traveling of the world. Well, not the whole world, but a lot of the world. So, Lewis, I thank you for your tenderness and your thought. And to all of you others in the Happiness Patrol, continue to be happy.
Thank you so much, John. We certainly appreciate that. Thank you so much, John. I swear, man, he's something, man. Wow.
Oh, he's a hoot and a half.
Is he always like that? I've never actually heard him.
Yes, he's always like that. He's insane. You put a microphone in front of him, and he will just go to town, and you never know what he's going to talk about. Wow. That's the best part. It's just completely... Yes.
So anyway, to change the subject drastically, I've been seeing your pictures that you've been posting, and I was like, wow, this is pretty good. And then like I went to like some video that I think the BBC put out, like a little report on San Diego Comic-Con, and then I'm like going, holy moly, look at all these hot chicks. And I'm thinking, dang, Tara, where's the pictures of the hot chicks? Now, you did get one that I enjoyed a lot. And
I have to say the cheesecake outnumbers the beefcake here probably 5-1. But very, very little cheesecake is Doctor Who related. So the only one that I posted that was Doctor Who related was that amazing Femme Five yesterday.
The Femme Five,
I didn't get a picture, she had a bustle and she had her skirts hiked up in the front and she had on killer high heels that Leela would probably kill for.
But let me tell you, I've been having so much fun with Dale's beefcake pictures and putting them up on the blog. So if you guys haven't seen it yet, go out and check out the blog.
I think next year we should do beefcake, and then we should do a things you can't unsee file. Because for every piece of nummy beefcake, there was about 2 dozen... Oh, my God.
Guys who shouldn't be in spandex. sort of things. File?
Oh, things should be out in public.
Things you shouldn't be out in public. Things you can't unsee.
Things you can't unsee.
Yeah, I saw a fair few of those at the prom yesterday. But yes, yeah. I've been enjoying my beefcake folder. Thank you very much.
Now tell me, Dale, how have you? Do you have like any particular way of deciding which one will be the beefcake of the day?
Yeah, but I look through them, and anyone that makes me go, ooh, hello, in a terribly Leslie Phillips sort of way, gets into the shortlist, and then the one that gives me the boner wins.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Because I would walk up to these people, and I'd say, may I take your picture, please? And, you know, some of these people actually didn't want their pictures taken, and most of those were celebrities, because there's a bunch of celebrities running around in costume. I know for a fact that there were a lot of celebrities running around in costume, and they did not want their pictures taken.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
because they were
funny.
Afraid they'd get found out. But that number one had a gorgeous voice, and it would not surprise me in the least that guy was a celebrity, because he was moving very fast. He had a security escort with him. And I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, may I please have your picture, sir? And he turned around and said, yes. In this, I can't do the voice. I'm shocked. But just this gorgeous, sexy voice. And I just went, oh my God, Dale would just be on his knees at this point. Oh my God.
Actually, Dale probably would have been entirely in that position, yes.
Moving along.
I almost fell to my knees at that point. So he said yes, so I snapped his picture, and he and the security guard were fucking gone. So
funny.
If we find out later that was Christian Bale or God knows who, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Christian Bale got defeated by a statue of Prince Adam.
Wait a minute. I have to do it like this.
By the power of Grayskull. Yes.
I have the power.
No, you don't. You can't even plug in your computer leads properly.
Yeah, whatever.
Get on with it.
So anyway. But the Happiness Patrol was very proud to announce that our very own Dale W. was able to, and was lucky enough to grab a ticket to get to the Doctor Who prom. And let me tell you, from the pictures that I've seen, it certainly looks stunning. So Dale, how was it, Dale?
It was amazing. Geek prom, as I've taken to calling it already, was geek heaven. It was absolutely insanely good humoured. You can actually just feel the waves of love coming from the audience. Amazingly, the queue for the prom for a fiver tickets, the standing room only tickets, the queue was enormous.
Wow.
And I mean huge. It went all the way from the Royal Albert Hall, right the way down the plaza, down the steps, around the corner, along for an entire block of buildings, which is quite large in central London, and around another corner. Yeah, so we went along, and I didn't know which sonic screwdriver to take, so I took all three. And in doing so, outdid every fanboy dressed up as every doctor conceivable. Anyway, so yes, the TARDIS is on stage next to Sir Henry Wood, who was the founder of the Proms, etc. 116th season of the Proms. It's been going quite a wee while. Henry Wood, or the bust of Sir Henry Wood, which looks horribly like the bust from Adam West's Batman that used to flip the head.
Oh shit, I saw this photo. Go ahead.
Anyway, so it looks like the one on Adam West's desk in Batman, where you flip up the head and press the big red button and the bat poles activate. But it wasn't, it was Sir Henry Wood wearing a fez. Because apparently fezzes are cool, and there is actually a thing on there on the BBC website on the news about why is Sir Henry Wood wearing a fez, and at which point they cut to a clip of the doctor going, I wear a fez now, fezzes are cool. And then go, oh, well, that explains that then. It was novel. It was packed, and I mean packed. All seats were sold out. Standing room was packed. There was still room to let the Jadoon through.
And there's always room to let the Jadoon through.
And the Cybermen. And the Daleks. And the vampire people. And oh my God, literally, they were pouring out of things. Karen Gillan came on and did a link and walked off. And then suddenly we were invaded by bloody monsters everywhere. And then on the next link, she said, oh, I forgot to tell you there were going to be monsters in that bit. I'm like, ooh, hello. There was a fantastic video link to Matt Smith as the Doctor saying I couldn't be there, who then popped up from a trapdoor and was there.
Yeah.
And was totally outclassed by a six-year-old.
Really? Now what happened exactly with the six-year-old?
Well, there was a whole thing where the guy got to hold it, and they brought in the kids.
Uh-huh.
Et cetera, and you know, they picked a kid out of the audience to help him, and this kid was far too good at what he was told to do. So the doctor was kind of like, now, set that, hold that between your teeth, and now don't nod, will you? And he didn't. Now, for goodness sake, don't giggle. No, whatever you do, don't giggle. And this kid is stony-faced. Probably looks, actually, he looked quite terrified of this. But he was 6'4", something like that. And Matt Smith was going, you're not actually gigging. Okay, you're better than this, and I thought you'd be. yes, so that it was very funny. Had the audience in hysterics. And then just towards the end, he said, now, excuse me while I just grab a quick look at the auto cue. At which point, the whole place just collapsed into fits of laughter. So that was fun. So he did his bit as the doctor and then came back on later wearing this glorious black suit. Actually, they were all in black. Arthur Darvill was in black looking freaking gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
And Karen was in golden black for most of the evening in this amazing ball gown that changed in the second half to something a lot shorter.
Yes, you know, I saw a picture of that on the web and I was looking in that dress
shorter.
And I was like, whoa, hello. So that was pretty, pretty interesting.
It wasn't as much a dress as a vest with a belt.
yeah, it was a puffy belt.
And then Matt Smith came on in another black suit, and in the photos I've seen, it actually looks like he's about to start singing. But it's literally it was an amazing time. They put a lot of effort into doing it right, and if there were big screens everywhere, so everybody had a view of what was going on.
Oh, great, cool.
It was beautifully done. It was good humoured. It was well intentioned. The fans were stunning. Actually, very rarely am I proud of Doctor Who fandom in its entirety, but I have to say, everybody at that event was amazing. The number of Matt Smiths I saw was, well, 11th Doctors I saw, not Matt Smiths. There were at least 15 of them. I saw one Tennant, which gives you a clue. But there was a clip where they paid tribute to every Doctor.
Oh, nice.
And every Doctor got a huge round of applause and a huge
Yay!
Cheer. And then they got to Tennant. The roof could have exploded at that point.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
Tennant into Smith got the biggest cheer I have ever heard from Doctor Who fans. And it was stunningly, stunningly cool.
Wow, that just goes to show you how popular the new series is. It's amazing.
Yeah, Tennant and Smith got... It nearly broke the place. It was amazing. They could have lifted the roof. So, yeah, it was great fun. So I went around and got some pictures of the TARDIS and got stopped by a nice lady who said, excuse me, sir, we're trying to shut the place now. I said, I need to get pictures of the TARDIS. She went, I said, we're shutting. I said, I need to get pictures of the TARDIS. At which point her eyes went very wide. She was probably scared of being stabbed in the eye with a pen.
You should have been wearing a Harry Potter shirt. That would have scared him.
You got to watch out for those geeks, man.
And then
she said,
oh, go on then, just be as quick as you can. Thank you. Yeah. And let me through because she was rather scared I was insane.
Yeah.
But of course I am, which is fine. The one thing I wish I had done, which I probably could have gotten away with because the box I was in had a huge desk at the back, which was glorious. I could have taken
K9.
Oh,
cool. That would have been funny because he could have just sat on the desk at the back wagging his ears and going, if everything passed.
Well, tell me this, Dale. How far away from the actual stage were you? I mean, guesstimate.
Not terribly far. I was on the... Now, as you look at the stage, I was on the right-hand side. There's four levels to the Albert Hall.
Uh-huh.
There's the gods, which is insanely high, and I would never, ever, ever, ever want to go there because I get vertigo. A bit like Sarah Jane. I can't go along there. I get vertigo. And then there's... a big seated section, then there's another big seated section, then there's the boxes, then there's the stalls. Uh-huh. I was in one of the boxes, but I was in one of the boxes that are actually pretty damn near the stage. So I had an incredibly good view of everything that was going on. But if we stood up, we could see the whole auditorium, so we could actually see when the vampires started popping out and all the BBC cameras and all the rest of it.
Oh, wow.
And read the auto cue along with Karen Gillan.
BBC Radio has a link to their broadcast of the proms. Is that correct?
Yes, they do. It's on BBC iPlayer, and being a radio program, you can listen worldwide.
Oh, that's great.
That was good fun. The BBC Radio 3 are broadcasting all proms live as they happen.
So if you want, and they have them up for like 7 days or something like that?
7 days, yes. You have 7 days to go and listen to the Doctor Who prom parts 1 and 2. In the middle, I don't know if they did this, because on the live Radio 3 broadcast, because when we had an interval of 20 minutes, you have to fill the air. So they actually had a program on the incidental music of Doctor Who, so Ian was telling me, because he was listening.
Oh, nice. Wow, so that's cool. So if you weren't lucky enough to actually attend the prom, you can actually go to the BBC iPlayer, and we'll try to put up a link to that on the blog.
Well, the BBC also recorded it for televising.
Oh, So we'll get to see the little blonde kid that stumped Matt Smith.
Oh, he was absolutely brilliant. His name was Ellis, and he was brilliant.
Rock and roll, Ellis.
Was a little taken back at having the entire Royal Albert Hall applauding him, because he was absolutely adorable. And I hate kids, so for me to say that really is something. But yeah, it was stunning, absolutely stunning, and yes, it will be televised. I think it'll be televised somewhere near Christmas, because that's what they did with the last one.
Cool.
Or they'll probably show the edited highlights next month, and then show the whole prom again at Christmas, which will get them extra viewers, which was stunning.
Nice. Wow, I wish I could have been there, man. I mean, so all the Murray Gold music was excellent, I'm sure.
Murray Gold was on there playing.
Oh.
Yes, he was. He was tweeting about it, too.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, he was tweeting.
Cool.
We knew where he was drinking, because he kept tweeting from there. And as he drank more and more, he'd tell us more and more about where he was. It was like, Jesus, man, if I was in London, I'd have gotten your autograph, because I knew where you fucking were.
All right, so next week, gang, if you show up, yeah, you'll show up. My God, you're Happiness Patrol fans. Next week, we are taking a break from recording, and we are going to have a video instead. So what we're doing is we've taken your questions, 10 questions for the Happiness Patrol. We are going to answer those questions on video to the best of our ability. I'm going to edit them all together, because, of course, you know, if you're a longtime listener to the Happiness Patrol, none of us are in the same time zone. So it truly is a time traveling show. But we're going to edit this stuff together, or I'm going to edit it together and put together.
Would that make you the editor?
I'll be the editor. So
does that mean above you, and no matter where you're sitting, you have the mighty Jack Professor, the Holy Hadrojassic Max Rodenfoe?
Something
or Max for short.
Max, yes. So I'm going to edit all this together and bring it to you next weekend. So we will have a wonderful
video
Happiness Patrol. So you get to see our lovely faces. Yay! Oh,
Jesus Christ!
Well, you get to see Lidl's lovely face. How's that? And the rest of us old buggers. So anyway, stay tuned for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And so that'll
fun.
Be good. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Fun.
Can I see your badge?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Hang on a second.
Okay,
We're going to have to
take all this stuff off. We're going to have to move this table.
All right, guys. I'm being thrown out, so
you gotta
I got to go.
You going to rejoin us?
I don't think I can. They're throwing me out.
Okay,
so
we'll see. We'll see if you can rejoin us.
I've already had two security guys say this was okay. So.
Okay.
I just had a guy tell me from Comic-Con that he didn't want you here. Are you press? What are you?
Yes, you're with the Happiness Patrol.
Yep. Press.
I'm with the press, but this is the badge they gave me. So.
Well, that's not a press badge, then.
All right. Excuse me?
What badge do you have? Yeah, can't hang out here.
Okay.
You can go downstairs if you want, but you can't hang out up here.
Okay.
Not at this table anyway.
Can you Skype downstairs?
No, I can't Skype. I'm backing up, guys. I'm out of here.
All right, we love you, Tara.
All right.
We'll see
all right, guys.
We'll
that's all we can record on the Happiness Patrol today.
Okay.
See you guys. Bye.
Love you, Tara.
Bye.
And is she gone?
Not yet.
Not yet.
She has now.
So anyway, it's me and Dale for Pick of the Week. this week. So
reduced pick of the week.
Reduced pick of the week. So
less quantity, more quality.
Well, speaking of quality, I was looking for some stuff that I hadn't seen, and believe it or not, I had not seen, and I thought I had seen all the Peter Davison episodes, but apparently I had not, because I had not seen The Visitation, which is my pick of the week. Now, some people like this show. After watching it, I was ready to, you know, totally love it to death, and I think that might have been my failing grace, because I went into it with a real open mind, thinking this is going to be great, and I forgot. Hey,
so that's not an open mind, though.
I guess not. Yeah, I guess you're right. I had a preconceived notion. You're absolutely right. I had a preconceived notion it was going to be fantastic, because I love Peter Davison, but then again, Adric was bitchy the entire time. You got a whole crew of companions, and I'm so glad that the new Doctor only has like maybe one or one and a half companions, you know, because when you get four people in the TARDIS, you know, with four different personalities going crazy, it gets kind of nutty, as we here at the Happiness Patrol can tell you. So, but anyway, Adric...
Yeah, but- We've only got 3.5 because, you know, Leela never says anything.
Oh, well, she
and
has.
Then Tara says more than enough to make up for it.
She has her bit, yes. So
and you can't get me to shut up for love nor money. Although, frankly, I look like a church mouse compared to John Levine.
So anyway, back to The Visitation. Wow, what?
Yes. You know,
it was a good story. It was a good story. It was a very classic Who story. And Adric... was complaining a lot. But you know what? Adric's complaining was nothing compared to Tegan's bitchiness. Oh, my God. You know, she finally is like, oh, I'm so glad to be going home. But, oh, Nyssa, I'm going to miss you. Oh, I'm going to miss my time in the TARDIS. And then when she realizes that she's not home and the TARDIS has made a little, you know, error in...
A little error.
Of only 300 years. So, she gets bitchy again. You know, I'm like, God damn it, woman. What the hell? You just were saying that you're going to miss your time in the TARDIS, and now you're being fucking bitchy again. You know, and it's just, ugh, holy moly. So it was rough. It was rough.
I'm not on board with either of those things.
Really?
Adric wasn't whiny the whole time. And to be fair, he did figure out how to fix the TARDIS by hitting it.
Yeah, that was a nice little thing.
Passive maintenance, as it's properly called.
Yeah, as Nyssa would go, what would the Doctor do if he was here? And he goes, oh yeah, and he hits the console, and it gets in it, and it materializes all right. So that was kind of
To be fair,
yeah,
I think, the exception of Nyssa,
uh-huh,
everybody is insanely cranky in that story.
Yeah, you're...
Even the Doctor is very cranky.
He had a lot of funny dark humor.
He had a lot of putting Tegan back in her place.
Yeah, yeah, really.
And then when they finally turn up in the TARDIS in the middle of the room that they can't get out of, and she says, well, if nothing else, it saved us a long walk. And he just looks at her with absolute venom and goes, I happen to like long walks, and stomps into the TARDIS, and you think,
wow, ooh. Yeah, I tell you.
And
tell
there are several times when literally he half snaps at Tegan before regaining control. And I actually think it's the same as the Seeds of Doom for me, because Tom Baker's Doctor is insanely arch and cranky in that one. And
now I have to go rewatch Seeds of Doom.
Oh, it's a brilliant story.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
And then in and then The Visitation, Davison's Doctor is insanely cranky. And I think it works very, very well for the character, because, yeah, why wouldn't the Doctor have off days?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Especially when with that lot in the TARDIS.
Yeah, now, you get that right.
Nyssa, worth her weight in absolute gold. Absolutely adore Nyssa's character.
She really saved that episode for me. Her and the Thespian. Yes, the Thespian.
But.
Yes.
Oh, Richard Mace is just stunningly cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, by all accounts, he is a complete and utter coward. But he's also a coward with such amazing style, you can't help but love him.
I am a highwayman.
I don't like Adric. I never liked Adric. I wish Adric would fall off the face of the planet. And although actually he smacked into it, which was, you know,
pretty good. Adequate.
Yeah, pretty much. And then a dinosaur ate what was left. But I think with Nyssa, who was so very scientific and very, very, well, bland, frankly. She was a bland character. She didn't actually have a lot to do or say about things. She was just very, very scientific. Yeah, it was the way the character was brought up on Trakan.
Yes, exactly.
I thought having Tegan there bitching and moaning was a good thing at the time, because it put some acid back into the TARDIS. Because it can't be all plain sailing all the time.
That's true.
And it gave the Doctor the opportunity in this one to shut her up several times.
Yeah.
And which has just been freed from the mind control. And he says, "And how are you feeling?" And she says, "Groggy, bad-tempered, and something else." And he says, "Oh, I was back to your old self.
That was
at
funny.
Which point, I nearly die laughing, because the doctor does. He may be polite most of the time, but he does pick up on all these things. He is a very, very clever man.
Well,
he's just terribly, terribly, terribly good at being calm.
It was so funny, because this was the first time that I'd seen it, right? And when the, how do you pronounce it? When he came into the cell where the doctor was in handcuffs, and he made him drop the sonic screwdriver.
The sonic device.
Yes, and he fires on it, and he destroys the sonic screwdriver.
Hooray!
I was like, what? That's got John Nathan
Hooray!
Written all
Somebody
over.
Should have done it to Tennant's one. Somebody should do it to Smith's one. They should write out
well,
the sonic...
Well, you know what?
It's a magic wands these days.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. It's exactly what John Nathan Turner was trying to get away from.
I can see why. I mean, Russell T. Davis has explained why in Current Who. They have it there. You know, they said, you know, you want the Daleks to be against the Doctor. You want the Autons to stop the Doctor. You want the Cybermen to Doctor. You don't want a locked door to stop the Doctor.
Right.
So I can see why they had the Sonic there all the bloody time.
Well,
it is a little sad. Too much.
Well, it can be overused, you know.
It's like any plot device.
I think it was perfect in Silence in the Library when they had that wonderful scene.
You're going to say Silence of the Lambs.
No, I don't think it turned up in that one. Silence in the Lambs. But when Donna is like, you know, fussing at the doctor and he goes, "It doesn't work on wood." She's like, "What? It doesn't work on wood?"
Yes.
You know, given the sonic screwdriver like limitations, is a great plot device too. So, I mean, I like having the sonic screwdriver. Number one, I'm sure the BBC loves it because it's a cash cow.
Everywhere.
Number two, I'm sure that writers love it because it does keep the plot moving. So you don't want the doctor locked up in a cell all the time and not being able to get out, which you know happened in this particular episode of The Visitation. You know, once again, more classic Who, which is not a bad thing. It's just it can slow the pace of the episode down.
It did slow the pace down. But at the same time, it also made the writers use their brains a little more. Instead of having the magic wand to wave at the door and Zappo, it's open, have to find another way out.
Right. So
I can see why it's used. I can see the point of it. And I have to say, I love the prop itself because it's a beautiful piece of design. But I do think it is overused.
Yes. So getting through some of the interesting parts of the my favorite parts of this episode. DJ Fuzzy Ears Nyssa, okay? I'm loving it when
DJ
Nyssa,
when
she's putting those headphones on and they're all black and fuzzy and stuff, and like, you know, the prop guy is like going, okay, we gotta make something to protect her ears when she puts on this, you know, amazing sonic thing to destroy the android, right? Okay,
which was a beautiful piece of design
of the android.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was quite disco spangly. Also,
it's a It was a bit gay. I'm sorry, it was a gay. It was obviously a gay pride android.
It was like all these rhinestones, and he was bedazzled. He was a bedazzled.
But he was beautiful to look at. My main worry was when he actually goes into the TARDIS and he slams open the police box doors.
Yeah,
but the TARDIS is in such a shoddy bloody state. You can actually see it wobble to death, and you're like, oh dear, I think the back wall's just fallen out.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was pretty hilarious. And but yeah, the DJ Fuzzy Ears. I love that. Ears. I love that.
And her record deck of doom.
And her record deck of doom. That was funny. Also, the pterodactyl rubber suit.
God. Oh, they weren't bad. For 1980s Doctor Who, which had no budget at all.
I kept waiting for him to take the head off.
The pteroleptals were pretty well designed.
Yeah, I think if they were, you know what, if they were reintroduced in today's Who, they would be amazing.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either, quite honestly. Yeah,
they certainly tried, and they were meant to look a bit like tropical fish, because they were meant to be fishy sort of things.
Yeah, it was good. It was definitely a good idea. I like the idea a lot of a prison ship, you know, crashing on Earth, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked it because they obviously put a lot of time and love into it, and even the pteroleptal costumes, which weren't the greatest, I have to say, but they obviously had a great deal of design and thought put into them.
Mm-hmm.
And having the leader was the one being animatronic, so the voice, you know, so the jaw moved and the eyes moved, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a nice touch.
They certainly do have a lot of teeth, don't they?
Yeah, but they're all quite small teeth.
Yeah, quite small. Lots.
They can only eat noodles.
I also speaking of those suits, a little spoiler alert here, but at the end when they at the exciting conclusion when fire catches into the barn, the dairy, what was it, not a dairy, a bakery. It was a bakery where
they call it history.
No, I don't know your history, but I did look it up after I saw the episode. But when the bakery catches fire and they show the scene of the rubber suits, it looked like their eyeballs were exploding. They were, expanding like rubber balloons and then exploding. Yeah. And I thought, you know what? I know it's fake, but that's a little gross for Doctor Who.
Wait till you see the Sontarans die in the two Doctors.
Oh, wow.
So, in fact... If you want a really, really indicative view, and you know, just to show how bad Doctor Who got for being gruesome in the 80s, you need to watch the Jim Will Fix It one with Doctor Who in a fix with the Sontarans, with the little kid Gareth, whatever his name was, Jenkins or something. Because when the Sontarans die in this Jim Will Fix It sketch, which is patently a kid's program, whether or not Doctor Who is... To have green goo coming out of their eyes and their mouth as they die horribly on screen in the middle of a kid's program.
Oh my God.
Is not a good thing. So Doctor Who was, I mean, I can see why Michael Gray took it off. It was too violent and too gruesome.
Wow.
Two Doctors. Shock Eye is walking around carrying a severed leg. he picks up a rat, chops it across their head and eats it raw. I'm like, this is family showing? So, no, I can... That whole era, the whole 80s era, started getting more and more violent. Now, admittedly, the pteroleptals are far from the worst offenders.
Uh-huh.
But I do think showing their eyeballs going...
That was a little excessive, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't the nicest thing.
So, Dale, do you have a pick of the week?
Now, you see, I haven't watched any Who this week because... It was prom week for me.
Because it was prom week, so I guess I'm the only one.
Well, no.
I'm sure you have something for people to watch.
I have watched so much Doctor Who in my life. I can probably just whip up a pick of the week in about 13 seconds. So.
Yeah, thank God you're here, Dale.
Have you got a timer? You can start in the background for give me 13 seconds.
You do your thing, baby.
Let's have a quick look. So, would you like new Who or old Who?
Let's see. Let's go with some classic Who because there's so much more there.
Okay,
so
pick a doctor. There.
Let's pick a doctor. Let's go with let's get classic and go with Mr. Cool himself, Mr. John Pertwee.
Oh, okay. Now, I did the Green Death a couple of weeks ago, so I won't reuse that one because the Green Death is my favorite Pertwee story.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll go for the Time Monster.
The Time Monster?
Yeah. It's got Delgado's master at his most potent, so he's fantastic. Ingrid Pitt is looking very, very pushed up in her corset.
Okay, wait. Before you go on to the characters, give me a little synopsis of this.
Oh my! What, the Time Monster? Okay, yeah. There's something weird going on with a different acronym called TomTit, which is a very, very bizarre thing to call anything. But there's a Professor Thaskalis, I believe, is doing time travel experiments.
Ah.
And the Doctor's sent to investigate, and it all involves Kronos, who's a chronivore, and actually eats time. And it happens in ancient Greece and Atlantis and all the bloody rest of it. It's a very long, convoluted story. It's insanely difficult to follow.
Wow. How many parts is it?
I think it's six.
Oh, wow.
So Joe Grant is fairly amazing, as usual.
As usual. Cute little Joe Grant.
Pertwee's incredibly good. Now, the Master, Delgado's Master, and his TARDIS are there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very good battle between Pertwee and the Master. So, there's so much TARDIS travelling with two TARDISes.
Uh-huh.
It's also got a different TARDIS control room.
Uh-huh.
It's the one with the washing up basins on the wall. It's the only story it featured in because the producer saw it and thought it was the biggest load of crap he'd ever seen and ordered it back to the old set, the old set to be renovated.
Uh-huh.
You get to see the Master's TARDIS and what's inside there because it's brilliant. They take out the central column of the Doctor's TARDIS, you know, the prop, and they put in... Uh-huh. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
An upturned silver plastic dustbin with a lamp on top.
Oh, my God.
So funny. Literally, there are bits of it that are great. Ingrid Pitt is very, very bizarre. Kronos is possibly the funniest Doctor Who monster you'll ever see from Pertwee's era. Because yeah, he's meant to be this big chronivore. It's like a weird white bird-like, bat-like creature swooping around everywhere and hoovering up time. No, it's a man on some wires with some flappy wings and a helmet. Going, a lot as he runs around gets flapped around a room on wires, doing a terribly, terribly bad job of doing so. It's a very good story. I like it because it's fun. It's a bit too long for my liking. I like them four episodes. I usually think you can miss out episodes 3, 4, and 5 on these things and still watch them comfortably. But I like it because it's Pertwee is very, very good in it and is very in control of his Doctor.
Oh, very nice. I like it. Does he do any Venusian karate?
Oh, he was always doing Venusian bloody Aikido.
How much fun is that? So, so I'll have to go and check that out myself because I haven't seen it.
The fun thing is, I come up with all these picks of the week, and none of you have seen them because I've never seen most of Doctor
Who. What's crazy about it is there's a lot of Doctor Who that I've seen. But there's a whole lot more that I haven't seen. And it's weird because sometimes, like The Visitation, I thought I had seen that episode. I did not see that episode. It was kind of weird. It was kind of like I got busy and suddenly they stopped showing Doctor Who in my area.
Let me just strike up the violin.
Was that the violin? Sorry, dude. But so there's a lot of stuff I got to get back on track of, especially being a host of a Doctor Who podcast. I need to be up on these things.
You would think so. Right. Should we do a competition, Uncle Lou?
Sure, let's do a competition.
Let's do a competition. Okay, so to win this White Dalek Doctor Who Proms program from the 2010 Doctor Who's Prom, I want to know precisely what TomTit stood for in the Time Monster.
In the Time Monster. Okay, the first person to email us at the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com will win this Doctor Who Proms program. It's a White Dalek, right?
It's a white new Dalek. It's a new Dalek for the Teletubbies. You can't get them because they were sold. They'll probably turn up on eBay for vast amounts of money, were sold out like hotcakes on the day.
Right.
But yes, okay. So if you want to win it, what did TomTit stand for?
TomTit, and that's from the
Time Monster.
The Time Monster episode. So be the first person to correctly tell us what that stands for. TomTit. Is that right? Tomtit. Yes. Spell it out.
T-O-M-T-I-T.
T-I-T. Tomtit.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we got a new contest. Hot diggity dog. So
fantastic.
Well, that's about all the time we got for today on the Happiness Patrol. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. I'd like to thank Tara all the way from San Diego Comic-Con. Thank you, Tara, for putting up with us and being able to...
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You guys do owe me big because I had to get up at 5 o'clock this morning to get down here. Okay?
And Dale, thanks so much for being on again, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. So you guys, stay tuned for the Happiness Patrol, and you can always follow us on our Blogspot. Leela?
You can check out our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/theeachpatrol.
And, you know, if you guys want to send us any kind of love mail, hate mail, all that kind of stuff, make sure you send it to the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. And I want to thank our very wonderful special guest, Mr. John Levine, Sergeant Yay! Benton, for coming on today. We didn't expect it, but boy, what a surprise! So
wow, hello.
So anyway, guys, till next week, I am Lewis B.
And I'm Tara W.
And I'm Brigadier Alistair Gordon Lethbridge Stewart. Has anyone seen Sergeant Benton?
I think he's talking up the chicks. So we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
This is John Levine signing off from the Happiness Patrol. Goodbye, God bless, and may your own particular God go with you.
I think it would be good.
Uncle Lou?
Yes,
Uncle Lou.
Yes, sir.
Aaron Gray just walked by this table.
Aaron Gray. Did you grab
smoking
him?
Hot. Smoking hot. No.
Still smoking hot?
Smoking.
What was she wearing, Tara?
She's wearing a pair of tight, tight black pants.
Yes.
And
can I leave you two alone?
We have to have celebrity interruptions by Tara.
Where's she going? Sorry, yeah, and a gray blouse, and it's off one shoulder, and smoking hot.
Well, if you see her again, tell her I said...
I'm not about to tell her that.
I'll tell her that.
Oh my God, the bionic woman is wafting perfume all over John Levine.
No,
oh my God. Lindsay Wagner is spritzing.
Are you portable? Are you portable, Tara?
No,
she's not portable.
But if I could get a picture, oh my God, this is so freaky. Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. That's just
it's all right, Tara.
This moment of what the fuck was brought to you
by... Oh my God, I wonder if Lindsay Wagner has a perfume line now that we're gonna be
I guess so, but you know, the bionic woman Sergeant Benton crossover.
That's pretty weird. Yeah. What would the 6 million what would Lee Majors have to say? I don't know.
Well, he's here too.
Oh yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Lee Majors is there.
Lee Majors is here. No, he's here. Oh my God. Okay.
Is
there he goes.
Is he right there?
No, he was here.
Oh.
Okay. He's here and he's gone.
Now I would like to talk to the $6 million man. I don't mind. That would be all right. I think
I'm telling you, if I could snag any celebrity, I don't care A-list, sure. B-list, I don't
what
give a rat's
hell?
Ass. If they come
okay.
by, I will fucking grab them and you
That's
can edit
okay.
it out.
And they're in there and they say, you know, this is Lee Majors and you're listening to the Happiness Patrol and I have nothing to do with Doctor Who whatsoever.